It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 10th day of May, 2022. Yes, this program is live. It is Tuesday, the 10th day of May, 2022. This is the Horn, headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany Real-Time Multimedia Madcap Extraordinary chat room conversation that takes place in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday. 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between in the Great Globe Round. I'm happy to say I'm also streaming to White Rose Society again, so both streams are going. Now, polls close at 7 here in West Virginia, so I figured I could at least get an hour or so in, and that is better by far than nothing. Hi. I'm Robin, and it's been a day full of anticipation, and I got out and drove around with my little magnets on the car and just let people see the Robin for All campaign logo. And interestingly, I had a couple of notes from people who have voted for me, and much to my chagrin, I walked in to vote today, because I do like to vote on Election Day. I walked in to vote today, and it was like, oh, no. Because there it was. The video game voting machine. Entirely unreliable. And it wasn't too much longer before I got a couple of messages from people saying that they had experienced issues with the machines flipping votes from, say, me to my primary opponent. Oh, well, but they at least did finally manage to be able to vote for me and for the other candidates that they wanted. And I'm excited by that. And I was really gratified that I began getting messages earlier today, I voted for you, I voted for you, I voted for you, I voted for you. And it's a deeply humbling experience. But so, in case anybody just got here a moment ago, please note that this program is live. I had said I wouldn't be here, but I'm here. And we've got a little bikini radio going on here this afternoon. Yeah, and try not to think too much about that, or your appetite might be ruined. But I'm getting ahead of myself because every program at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So what that means is we send out thanks this evening to our 10th day of the month subscribers. That means thanks to Dan. Thank you to Paul from Parts Unknown. Thank you to Judith. Thank you to Joe Vecchio, our buddy. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. And where that leaves us, well, we're still trying. You know, this is what happens when a month ends with a deficit. We struggled the next month to try to get caught up. The fundraising goal is at $1,790. Ouch. Yeah. But nonetheless, we'll get some radio in, some conversation in. Well, not really. No, it's just going to be a filler roster. Who am I kidding? For this Titanic Tuesday, a little follow-up case. You remember we had the story a couple of weeks ago about the obnoxious white kid who kept haranguing and harassing Mike Tyson on the airplane? Until Mike Tyson turned around and punched the shit out of him. Yeah. Well, there was an announcement earlier today. San Mateo County, California District Attorney's Office investigated the incident and said the circumstances include the conduct of the victim leading up to the incident, the interaction between Mr. Tyson and the victim, as well as the requests of both the victim and Mr. Tyson that no charges be filed in the case. And so Mike Tyson, and, you know, it seems like it's a just outcome. Because God knows, I don't know, hell, Mike Tyson, any of us, who would put up with that kind of crap? And at some point in time, that kind of behavior winds up being, it can put one in apprehension of receiving an immediate unconsented to touching of an insulting or provoking nature. Which one does have a right to defend oneself against? Okay, good. Thank you, Don, in British Columbia. Yep, that Apple stream is working because it's tied to the White Rose stream. And so, therefore, yes, thank you for letting me know. It is Titanic Tuesday, and, of course, this is a day for noting the titanic manifestations of what passes for intellect in the thin gray settlings that splash around and slosh around between the ears of various and sundry members of the GQP and the maggots and whatnot. And so we had a story about this woman earlier. Her name is Romana Didulo. She has declared herself the Queen of Canada. Since we had a note from our friend Don in British Columbia, I thought he might enjoy this one. Brother Deacon Asa will enjoy it. Romana Didulo. Didulo, low, low, Didulo, low. Sorry, stop it. No singing. We got a $1,790 fundraising hole. Well, you might recall we talked about her a couple of weeks ago when she was saying that she had been personally asked by President Biden to negotiate a peace between Ukraine and Mother Russia. Oh, well, she's back. Now, she is a cue ball of the highest order. And by that, I mean sold Canadian. So she went from demanding an aircraft to go and negotiate a peace between Ukraine and Mother Russia to telling her cue ball followers in Canoodlia that paying for utilities there is now optional. Yeah. She told her followers, and God knows why she has any, but, well, it's 2022. She told the people who actually think that she is not crazier than a sprayed roach that it was no longer necessary for them to pay for their water bill, their sewage bill, their gas bill, their property taxes, or their credit card bills. And then she started bullying people who still were. Over on Telegram, oh, God. Over on Telegram, one of the people who actually thinks this woman is not crazier than a sprayed roach said, "The more who do it, the quicker we can be free of enslavement. Those still living in fear are making it harder to get out. Don't be afraid, because we're in this together." And she went on to say that, yeah, electricity was free. And then, lo and behold, imagine the shock and surprise of the little cue balls when the power company cut off their power well, cut off their electricity for non-payment of the bill. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I admit I take a little bit of solace in this, because at least it's not Merca. Merca getting some cue ball relief this afternoon. Billable Rick says, Robin, stop it. Stop telling us that you can't sing because of the fundraising hole. Some of your listeners may like your singing voice. I can't imagine there are many, Billable. It's hardly entertaining. But thanks for the little vote of confidence. That means the world to me. Let's check in with a couple of education stories. The first story comes to us from Watertown, South Dakota. And if it's coming from South Dakota, which is, you know, a hotbed of maggotry and cue ballism and et cetera. Well, there was a teacher at Watertown High School. Note the verb tense here. He sent out a letter on April the 25th, Calvin Hillsland did. And he sent them, and he was objecting to calling students by the name that they preferred to be known by. Dear, name blacked out. I'm hoping that by now you know me well enough from class to be able to trust me. I respect you. I support you. I want what's best for you. If there were a rattlesnake under a pile of leaves on the path in front of you, I'm hoping you could easily imagine that I would run out ahead of you to warn you. If your home were on fire, I'm hoping you could believe that I would try to help you get out. That's sort of what's happening now. When you asked me to call your friends by masculine names and I started trying to do that, I was wrong. It was a lie. I didn't warn you about the rattlesnake. I didn't try to rescue you from your burning home. I hope you'll forgive me, and I want to turn things around now. And like I said, I'm hoping you'll trust me. I realize that what you feel is saying something totally different. But feelings are like a mirage. You don't dare trust in them to guide you. They're not an accurate reflection of reality. In other words, this is fancy flowery maggot language for fuck your feelings. So what is the reality? What is the truth? How can you know the truth for certain? Well, biologically, every cell in your body is female, feminine. That's the biological truth. Biology! The same is true for your friends, and it's truth that I want to encourage you to pursue. That's what a good teacher does, right? The DVD will explain everything more clearly than I can, the spiritual as well as the scientific facts. The candy is a symbol of the sweetness that I hope and pray you'll discover. Immer alles Gute. Always all good. Dein Deutschlehrer, Mr. H. Well, that last part was certainly apropos to the rest of it. But, well, people did not respond to that in the spirit in which he, or if you can call it spirit, in which he said it. And so kids started protesting. Alex Rambo, a high school student who attended the protest on April 26th, said, "We were all flabbergasted. Mr. Hillsland was always the nice teacher who always said hi to everyone, but he's lost all my respect." So the letter talks a lot about religion and their identities and their feelings on how they can't count on how they're feeling, very much transphobic. That was Amy Rambo, a parent of Alex, talking to Dakota News Now. And the school district, the Watertown School District, then said they do not support this sort of action, and we respect the rights of our students to be who they are. That won't last. No. That won't last in the state that's run by the homicidal maniac, the pandemic maniac known as Christy Nome. And so now Mr. Hillsland is gone. Bye. Right. And so then from South Dakota, we wander down to Texas, where a teacher in Arlington got offended when a student uttered the words, the three little words, which are now in modern parlance and modern texting and online and social media, just shortened to OMG. Little sixth grade student said, "Oh my God." And it turned out that after saying, "Oh my God," and the teacher said, "Don't say that," little sixth graders are like, "Well, why can't we say, oh my God?" "Well, that's using Jesus' name in vain." This was a substitute teacher who then went on to tell the kids, "It would be like me saying the N-word." Only he didn't say, of course, the N-word. He followed up and said, "Yes, I said, and I'll say it again," he said, saying it again. And how about that? The Arlington Independent School District has gotten this one right. It's amazing. Even a blind hog finds an acorn now and then in Texas, I guess. Because they canned this disgusting racist of a teacher. Bye. Yeah. And then of course, we... how about we pop in over in Ahiastan? The Lakota Local Schools Board meeting took place last night. And parents showed up to demand the resignation of one Darby Boddy, B-O-D-D-Y, Darby with an I. It was last week when Darby Boddy got a notice of trespassing when she walked into two district schools without any notice and got herself banned from school property, and she was oopsie. Darby Boddy had accidentally posted a link to some porn on her Facebook page. She was, of course, because the goddess of irony is a good goddess. She was barking and grunting and braying about sex education in the schools. And posted a link to, porn. I know we know how she votes. Because she's also thrown fits about critical race theory. And the latest latest hobgoblin of the right wing, something called social and emotional learning standards. So Darby Boddy said, "Critical race theory is alive and well in teachings and programs in Lakota. I'll be proposing meaningful community conversations to define and demystify the philosophy, expose its tenets, and associated programs. Programs and teachings that are designed to ensure that critical race theory permeates every aspect of a child's education. I know what we have, and I know what we could lose." Well, never mind. So pissed off parents showed up at the school board meeting to voice their displeasure with this cue ball maggot. And WLWT Action News Team Coverage 5 had the story. I guess they're a They're a Cincinnati station. Sounds like Darby Body might be like a distant relative of Marge Schott or something.
A controversial Lakota school board member says she's not going anywhere. And good evening, I'm Mike Dardis.
And I'm Cherie Pilello. Darby Body has been the source of conflict for the last 2 weeks. Now, despite calls to resign, she says she's here to fight critical race theory. WLWT News 5's Molly Lehrer is live for us in Liberty Township tonight with the very latest. Hi, Molly.
Hi there, Cherie. You know, it was a packed Lakota school board meeting tonight, lasting more than 3 hours. Many parents vocal in their desire for Body to be out. Just last week, Body was served a notice of trespassing after entering two district schools without notice. As a result, she is barred from school property unless invited for board business. I spoke with her before tonight's meeting. She said she wouldn't have done anything differently. She feels, as a board member, she has a right to walk through schools. But district officials say that is a violation of district policy. This came just a week after Body says she inadvertently posted a link to pornography on her Facebook page. That post was criticizing sex education programs she claims are being taught in schools. Her fellow board members asked her to resign, but in a statement read at tonight's meeting, she said she will not. Many parents, some holding signs with the word resign, spoke up, sharing concerns about the state of the district and the social-emotional learning in the crosshairs of Bodie's attacks.
By the way, social-emotional learning is not going to lead to the demise of the United States. It's an attempt to help children be decent little human beings, especially when they're being taught to be indecent little monsters at home by their indecent monster parents. It takes into account things like, kids who are homeless or their learning experience might be impacted by, say, I don't know, a violent parent, and takes into account how kids feel.
Look, your feelings.
Oh, and just in case anybody's wondering, Darby Bodie. I don't know how you get Bodie out of B-O-D-D-Y, but oh, well, whatever. But Darby Bodie, I should note, is young, blonde, and Karen. Very, very Karen.
So moved. Critical race theory is alive and well in programs and teachings in Lakota. I will be proposing meaningful community conversations to define and demystify the philosophy, expose its tenets, and associated programs. Programs and teachings that are designed to ensure that critical race theory permeates every aspect of a child's education.
I know what we have, and I know what we could lose if partisan politics are allowed to play a role on this school board. I want to thank Mr. Miller for his quick action this week in regards to the safety of our students and building security.
To hear that there are extremists who are attacking these well-researched and effective practices based on political rhetoric without an understanding of what SEL actually is repugnant.
And in the statement she read tonight, Bodie said that she has received support from parents asking her to stay on despite what they call political attacks. She did walk out when board members voted unanimously to censure her and asked her to resign on a special meeting on April 27th. Reporting live in Liberty Township, Molly Lehrer, WLWT News 5.
Molly, how do other board members feel about the recent events with Bodie?
Well, at that emergency meeting, Board President Linda O'Connor said the behavior had crossed the line for her. And tonight she said that she's disappointed by the distractions. She said that it is distracting from the accomplishments of students in this district. Mike.
All right. Molly Lehrer live for us as the school board drama continues.
Oh, yes, the school board drama. Do we ever get free of this? Does anybody have a magic eight ball or anything? Or have we just entered the idiocracy part of American history, where within probably not 500 years like the movie predicted, but maybe like day after tomorrow, you're going to have Republicans and cue balls and maggots and Birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, birchers, and booger eaters walking around saying, water, like from the toilet? I know. Hey, thank you, Ralphs. That would be helpful, so very helpful. Ralphs is putting forward a $25 challenge, howling for Lassie to help get us out of the hole.
Lassie!
So if that gets met, we'll at least get down to 1740, because there is a whopping SOB of a power bill coming in. It's bad, and it's due. So if anyone would like to respond to Ralph's challenge, that would be fantastic. Lee in New York says, Bodie, how do you get Bodie out of B-O-D-D-Y? Easy. You just say what you see, and you know that eyeglasses are not included. My God, what a monumentally stupid woman she is. You know, and that's stupid is an adjective meaning lacking knowledge and not able to be provided knowledge because she is incapable of processing it. But since we're dealing with school issues here on this Titanic Tuesday, from Ohio, we go down to Georgia, Stan, where a women's lacrosse team, a school women's lacrosse team, the women's lacrosse team of Delaware State University, as a matter of fact, was making their way to a match at Stetson University in Florida, and they were traveling in the team bus when they were pulled over by some sheriff's deputies back last month. They were, ironically, in Liberty County, Georgia. Sit, Liberty, sit. And they weren't on the way to Florida. They were coming back from playing Stetson. And the deputies pulled the bus over and told the driver, a fellow by the name of Tim Jones, that he was being pulled over for a lane violation. And you can, I mean, it's Georgia, for God's sakes. That ticky-tacky, really? A bus for a lane violation? What, driving in both lanes? Cross the center line? What? You know, one of the intrepid young lacrosse-playing student-athletes hauled out her cell phone and started taking video of the exchange, where, after having said, we got a little lane change violation back there, I think you need to pull over. Yeah, that's why I pulled over. Lane change violation. But then it became rather quickly something else.
Check y'all's luggage. Okay? If there is anything in y'all's luggage, we're probably going to find it. Okay? I'm not looking for a little bit of marijuana, but I'm pretty sure you guys, the chaperones, are probably going to be disappointed in you if we find it. You guys are on a lacrosse team, correct?
Yes, sir.
So if there is something in there that is questionable, please tell me now. Because if we find it, guess what? We're not going to be able to help you.
Well, let's deal with this for just a second. Granted, it was a bus full of young women from Delaware State University. I might add, mostly young black women. And they were getting rousted over allegations of the possibility that they was having drugs in the luggage or whatever. Now, there was no tip. Oh, hell no. And you know what else there isn't? A search warrant. And I know this is going to come as a complete surprise, but the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution still holds sway even in Georgia, Stan. And, of course, these are kind of round, moon-faced, pink sort of fuzzy, scruffy, bearded deputies there in Liberty County, Georgia. And we're going to toss your luggage. And, well, if you don't tell us about all your marijuanas, well, when we find it, otherwise known as when we plant it, oh, we ain't going to be able to help you. Yeah, where's your goddamn warrant?
Have I explained it pretty good?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
You know, give us a few minutes and we'll be on. You guys will be on your way. Okay.
India. Dun 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 dun.
Yeah. Well, hell, at least they didn't start shooting. And lacrosse coach Pamela Jenkins said, one of my student athletes asked him, how did we go from a routine traffic stop to narcotic-sniffing dogs going through our belongings? The police officer said that on this stretch of highway, there are a lot of buses that are smuggling people and narcotics, and they have to be diligent. Don't matter. Still need a search warrant. And let's face it, pigs found a gift wrapped box that he, because it was gift wrapped, he thought it was suspicious because why would a young black woman have a gift wrapped box? Well, the player said her auntie gave it to her and she was asked not to open it till she got back to campus. You accepted something and you don't know what it is? It was a gift. Which the fucking cop then tore open, only to find out that it was a jewelry box her auntie had given her as a graduation present. They found not shit, these cops. And rousted this bus full of young women from Delaware State for 30 to 45 minutes. And then after going... bunch of white boys pawing through the suitcases of young women.
Dang, that's a cute little bra she's got there.
Look at these panties, Cletus! Then they said, I mean, how would you not feel fucking violated?
And Delaware State University President Tony Allen said, to be clear, nothing illegal was discovered in the search, and all of our coaches and student athletes comported themselves with dignity throughout a trying and humiliating process.
Sue them. They did not have a warrant. Who consented?
Now, the women's lacrosse team from Delaware State University needs to own
the Liberty County, Georgia Sheriff's Department.
Every damn day. This is sickening. What a disgusting gang of perverts those deputies are. Shame on them, you know, if they had any shame. Which, of course, they didn't.
I do. I hope they sue the life out of that sheriff's department.
Got to be a civil rights violation in there somewhere. Oh, and thank you, Christopher. Thank you so very kindly. Christopher says, meeting the challenge one bite at a time. So, yay, we are down from 1790 to 1740. Thank you. Thank you so much. And going back to the social and emotional learning, critical race theory, yada, yada, yada. Ron in Raleigh says, you know, it's amazing how one liar with an agenda, Christopher Rufo, has been able to turn elementary high school education on its head all over the country. Rufo's now showing his true agenda, which is universal vouchers and the destruction of public education. How do these people who haven't taken a single law school graduate course on CRT know so much about it? Well, they've listened to the horse shit Rufo has pulled out of his ass. And that's absolutely what it is. That's all it is. I mean, it's like one of the things that I had hoped to maybe to talk about if I make it to the legislature. It has always bothered me that our magistrate court system in this state is literally amateur hour. I'm not sure if it ever got amended, but last I checked, it is now the magistrate court is the court that handles misdemeanors, relatively low dollar amount civil suits. They do preliminary hearings for people charged with felonies. They set bail, things like that. And get this, last I checked, it is not even necessary to have a high school diploma to be a magistrate in the state of West Virginia. To literally hold someone's liberty in your hands, sit, liberty, sit. And not even be required to have gotten a high school sheepskin, let alone be a lawyer. And in this state, a lot of retired cops like to go into the magistrate business. It pays better than copping. Comes with state benefits. And not that I'm trying to give work to lawyers or anything, but it seems like if you're going to be a magistrate, you should probably have a legal education. Understand wild, wacky concepts like, due process, substantive and procedural due process, equal protection, excessive bail, the actual statutes with which people are being charged. So, get the idea. Steve from Georgistan says, and that's Brother Bishop Steve, pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy in the chat room this evening. Steve says, the subject line consent. In Georgia, the cheese can search your vehicle without a warrant if you consent. The act of not consenting constitutes probable cause. Usarian, have you seen my boat? I know. So if you refuse to give consent, well, that just means we're going to have to get a warrant and y'all going to sit here for a while. While we go to the evidence locker and pick up a few pounds of the marijuanas and plant it in your luggage. But constitutional rights are there for a reason. And as Ron in Raleigh points out, wait, what? Bus riding while colored? It ain't easy being black. And remember, of course, old Balls and Strikes John Roberts said, there is no racism in America anymore. P.S. Every damn day, gimmick infringement. Oh, Ron, I'm sorry. I'll try not to do that. And we haven't had a really high-quality Titanic clip from Washington Journal. Of course, Todd and Steve both told us about that harrowing statement last week. Rape is a state of mind. Well, we got a new one. Yeah, this is a real Lulu. At this point in time, is Washington Journal anything more than just a running reality show for people who mouth walk and knuckle breathe and pick their teeth with their toenail clippings. Because sounded like that earlier today. God, yes. Let's see, who was on the Washington Journal desk today? I wonder if all the hosts for Washington Journal have access to the 1.75 of rot gut tequila down there in the drawer under the... About have to, wouldn't they?
And each other accountable. Have a great day, Pedro.
Jeannie is now...
Oh, it's Pedro, poor dude. Who was that?
Jeannie is next.
Oh, it's Jeannie. Could it be Jeannie Pirro from New York? I don't know.
Jeannie is in Livingston, Louisiana.
Oh, dear. She's on vacation. Jeannie Boxaline. No, it's not Jeannie Boxaline Pirro. It's Jeannie Day drinking in St. Bernard Parish. I don't know. Wherever.
Republican light.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I just called up about this abortion thing. I've been hearing this since I was young. I mean, that's when the contraceptive was getting a big thing, the pill and everything. Personally, I don't agree with abortion.
Oh, you know what? You know what? I forgot to do something. And it's not like the Keith Moon Who story. I forgot to smash the titty. No, I forgot to issue the hockey puck warning. Because this is a hockey puck warning. A lot of talk about abortion and when or why or if women in the United States should be allowed to be fully functioning citizens. This one's a little newish. I think Jeannie ate the worm. It wasn't tequila. It was mezcal.
Okay. But that's not my decision to make, but I think women need to quit being so irresponsible, because a lot of them are. They're irresponsible.
Yeah, irresponsible women out there having, you know, the girls get together for lunch and a couple of abortions. It's just irresponsible is what it is.
So they run around and they get pregnant. There's all kinds of...
Shit, wait a minute. You can get pregnant by running around? What is does Jeannie Wormy eat the worm out of the mezcal bottle here? Think that I don't know that the sperms just sort of float in the air alongside the coronavirus? Maybe they hitch a ride, go in through the nostrils and work their way down to the. Okay, running around getting pregnant. Yeah, Mama, Daddy, I'm so sorry. I was out on my morning run, and I run through a plum cloud of jizz. God, of course she called on the Republican line. And by the way, need to do a quick copyright, because any day now I'm going to start a punk band called Cloud O' Jizz.
But I think women need to quit being so irresponsible, because a lot of them are. They're irresponsible. They run around and they get pregnant. There's all kinds of contraceptives. There's no excuse for it.
Yeah, there's only one problem. No contraceptive is 100%. You may have heard Tracy talking about it. Her son was conceived when she was on the pill and there was a condom in place and... I remember asking you, you didn't name him Houdini. But, well, you know, what happened? But that's nuanced and that's complicated thinking for the genies in the world. No, that's Cocoa Beach, Florida, not Livingston, Louisiana.
To get pregnant and not want it. They're using abortion like, what do you call it, like birth control. They don't want to take the pill because it might make them gain weight or this or that. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Or maybe it's just not a good idea to take the pill for a long, 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 long time. Because it comes with consequences. Yeah, they're afraid of the weight gain. Well, they're not going to gain weight because they're out there running around getting pregnant. Breezing through all those clouds of spunk. It's kind of a fine mist.
Ridiculous. They need to quit this stuff. And it's overturning Roe. All it's going to do is return the decision to the people in the state. And that's, it's not making it illegal.
That's Jeannie. Go ahead. Finish, Jeannie.
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. That's Jeannie there in Louisiana. One of the topics also talked here in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. It's just another day when Pedro's going to get done about 10, 11, 12. Maybe have a bite of lunch and. One of the handy things about D.C. is there's a liquor store about every three doors. Just pop in, grab a bottle, brown paper bag it, and head for the ranch, Pedro. Yeah. Ralph's wondering, maybe the sperm is in the Mezcal bottle. It's a hell of a worm. Surprised, don't be, Scott in San Diego says. As predictably as puffballs turn into dandelions, someone willfully stupid will call into Washington Journal. Yep, using abortion to keep from gaining weight. Well, I mean, you do gain weight when you're pregnant. Oh, God. Jeannie, there's a self-hating woman, in case anybody was wondering. Stop it, Robin, says Lee in New York. In the Republican mind, contraception is 100%. The female body will prevent pregnancy from rape, and abortion is the preferred type of birth control. Maybe they're drawing that data empirically from the preferred form of birth control. Maybe they're drawing that data empirically from Republican women who jet off to civilized states to take care of their little problem. And by the way, I saw a really neat little meme the other day. I liked it a lot. See if I can find it here. Oh, there it is, yeah. If you, this meme says, and I've seen it in a number of different manifestations and all over social media. If you are, and I think this is a good position to take. If you are a person who suddenly finds yourself with a need to go camping in another state friendly towards camping, just know that I will happily drive you, support you, and not talk about the camping trip to anyone ever. And it concludes by saying, if you know, you know. I get it. Clinics to racetrack ratio. Matt in San Francisco says, oh, come on, Robin. You got to admit there are a lot of clinics next to track and field venues. Think about it. Yep, a couple of laps, right, and then right into the reproductive health clinic. And next thing you know, because, you know, it's just such a damn good time in abortion. Oh, it's an absolute blast. Who wouldn't love that? Probably get a free cup of coffee or something. Yeah. Sort of like Rodney Dangerfield in the first Caddyshack movie. Yeah, you buy this hat, you get a free bowl of soup. We don't call it Titanic Tuesday. For nothing. But how about a little good news? After spending 49 years behind bars, the Supreme Court of the state of New Jersey today ordered the release of Sundiata Okoli. He was convicted in 1973 of killing a state trooper. Yeah, he was a member of the Panthers. And the parole board said that he should stay in prison basically forever. He is 85 years old. See, a state trooper named Werner Förster had pulled over Mr. Acoli. And it was for a broken taillight, or, I don't know, maybe a lane change violation. And along party lines, the Supreme Court split 3-2 and gave a measure of mercy to people who support Sundiata Acoli. A supporter by the name of Heather Hansen, speaking to the New Jersey Monitor, said, "We are here wiping away tears of joy." And civil rights attorney Sophia Elijah said that the people who have advocated for him have a right to celebrate the freedom that is rightfully his. He's been eligible for parole since multiple times since 1993, but on 8 different occasions, the Parole Board of New Jersey said he was a risk to reoffend. And the Attorney General of New Jersey even made that argument to the Supreme Court this past January. But New Jersey Supreme Court Justice Barry T. Albin said that the denials were so wide of the mark and manifestly mistaken that the court was intervening in the interests of justice. So, he's going to be free. Good. And, of course, the Republicans had to chime in. Lee A. Solomon and Ann M. Patterson said, "We have never so jadedly scrutinized a decision by the parole board in the way the majority does today. We cannot say we are in a better position than the parole board to decide Acoli's fate." Not to put too fine a point on it, but the parole board is a gang of political hacks. Because, see, there was a defense all along. Because Sutiandi Acoli has all along said that he was a political prisoner. And he said that Werner Förster's death was caused by one of his brother officers in a friendly fire incident. This man is sick. He is battling dementia. He's lost his hearing. And in 25 years in the stir in New Jersey, not once has he had a disciplinary infraction. And yet somehow or another, the parole board thinks he's a desperate criminal who's going to reoffend. He took more than 150 educational courses in prison. He's been psychologically tested time after time after time after time. And even taught critical thinking skills to his fellow inmates so that maybe they would not reoffend. He could have been out in 2014, but the New Jersey Supreme Court said, nope, and denied him parole again in 2016. He's incarcerated at Cumberland, Maryland. Jesus. But at least there's finally a measure of mercy and perhaps even justice. Send it back to the state, says Ron in Raleigh. Doesn't that mean someone else gets to make your decision for you? How about letting me make your decision about owning a GAT? I think that would be reasonable. P.S. A white man strangled a woman to death 72 hours after release from prison. I guess there was no risk of reoffending. Free Mumia Abu Jamal. I join you in that. And while we're at it, free Leonard Peltier. Scary Jerry says, Grandpappy theme music, firstly, and sends me a picture of a beautiful, beautiful little girl. This is a condom birth control baby. Also, as the father of three mixed-race adult daughters, I have no words. Liberal Avengers unite! So mad right now, and I understand why. And the reverberations from Vicky White, now dead, and Casey Cole White, who will be headed back to Lauderdale County, Alabama, all 6'9" tall of him, who had stabbed a woman to death by his own confession. Well, her mother-in-law, Frances White, interviewed by the Daily Beast, said that her daughter may have been brainwashed. She'd said that she'd like to live in Florida. That's the only thing I can think of. Back in January, Vicky White became a widow when Thomas White died from complications of Parkinson's disease. Her mother-in-law said, I'm just proud he wasn't still alive because he still thought she was a good person. I can't imagine her running off with that guy, but you never know. He walked into a woman's house and stabbed her. And allegedly died of a self-inflicted wound, although kind of hard to believe that. So anyway, we at least got a little bit of a filler obster in. And I'm going to go and get tidied up a little bit and head over to the courthouse. Let me take a minute and just pop in and say hi to our buddy Dave in the Blind. Are you there, Dave?
Yeah, Robin, I'm here.
Okay, I didn't want to leave you hanging, and I knew you were there, and I just wanted to say hi, and, you know, you probably didn't realize that it's not a full show this evening, so.
Oh, no, I didn't realize, because my internet's all screwed up. I was calling in about, and you may have just talked about it, the woman who fled with the,
Who was the, Vicky White.
Little Indiana is where they found them.
Right.
And, well, this is Indiana, so self-inflicted gunshot wound, according to the police, is anything that requires them to discharge their weapon that they want to hide. Therefore, it's automatically considered and self-inflicted. So when you're reading that...
Wait, are you saying that falls under the rubric of why did you make us shoot you?
Yes, but why did you make me beat you? Why did you make me chase after you for years? That kind of rubric, yeah. You know, the same one that says that now that they're going to dismantle everything in the way of civil rights, that my marriage to Christine was invalid. I'm here to tell you, Robin, I will burn the motherfucker to the ground verbally and legally in order to watch them smolder into a pile of ash and blow away. And no, that is not advocating violence, ladies and gentlemen. That's confronting them with the truth. But anyway, go ahead and get on out of here, girl. I'll talk to you later.
All right, Dave, you take care. We'll talk soon, okay?
Oh, I will. Bye.
And hey to Christine. Bye.
I will. Bye.
And so, hey, thanks, Christopher, for jumping in on Ralph's challenge. Tomorrow should be a regular program. Now, little program note, Boss Man Wayne is having a procedure at the hospital tomorrow, and I'm going to get up and go over and pick him up and take him for his appointment very, very early tomorrow. And then I have to take my daughter to a different appointment tomorrow afternoon. There is a possibility that all of that may interfere with my ability to get home in time for the program. And if that's the case, I will try to put out a notice on social media. For those of you who depend on the White Rose Society stream, I'm so glad that I got it back for you. And many thanks to Ben Birch for his efforts along those lines as well. Thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers, partial sponsors of the program. Thank you to our a la carte contributors, Christopher this evening, and everybody else all month long, every month. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.Live. Brand new Fresh Malloy coming along in 3 hours, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.Live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch. Really, thank you. WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch. CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And now proudly a union shop. Please stay safe. Please get your booster. Please wear your mask in crowded environs. I will be doing so this evening. Maintain your social distance. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Numbers are rising. Remember, Paul from Parts Unknown says 15 to 20 feet, if you can possibly manage that. And, of course, if some... If some mirrored shade sunglasses wearing deputy sheriff boards your bus full of young African-American women lacrosse players because he specs that since they're black girls, they're bound to have a whole bunch of the marijuanas, well, avoid that fascist. Like the plague. Because they are. Cross your fingers, y'all. Later.